This is the Realm of Agape Christian Church.
Look at Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Thank God for all of you going through the consecration and touching and agreeing with us together as a local assembly. Amen, amen. Amen. Psalm 103, 1 through 5 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Amen. And remember in Isaiah 40, I believe, right? Where it says, "We shall mount up with wings as eagles." Amen. We're going to have a renewal of strength because eagles molt and they get new wings, better, newer. Amen. New and improved. God needs us to be new and improved by his anointing. Amen. His anointing is going to do it. So I thank God for the season we are in. Spring is already here. Amen. Thank God. And old man Winter's trying to stick around a little bit. But you know what? No, his turn is up. He needs to let Miss Spring have her thing. Amen. Just let's come on. The blossoming of new plant life. You see it? It's a signature of God. God saying, "I'm alive again." Amen. We look at 3 months pass by and then he rises. Look at the 3 months as 3 days. 3 days he rose again. Amen. And the new plant life in the spring season we're in is a natural revelation of the effects of how true faith in Jesus as Lord brings newness of life to all of us who actively believe in him. You got to actively believe in him, not just on paper, but amen, in your life. Have you been transformed by the power of God? Amen. Yeah. As we worship on this Resurrection Sunday, we seek to commemorate how Jesus Christ chose to be the sacrificial substitute for the sins of lost man. In this season, we look to historical biblical testimonies. God has helped me to prepare the narratives and the biblical testimonies that will help this revelation to come to life. They represent both the burden and the blessing of activating true faith by worshiping Jesus as Lord. Yes, it's a burden. Jesus says, "Take this yoke upon you and learn of me." He says, amen, we're going to have to yoke up. Amen. There's some disciplines. The horses on the farm don't just walk all over the place to wherever they want. There's a, amen, definitive, subscribe kind of directive. Amen. And we have to hold that plow in place. And we have to look to where it's headed. Eyes off the plow, hands off the plow means we're unfit. We're going to start zigzagging. God needs us to stay on the what? Straight and narrow. Prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. Prepare. Amen. It's about being prepared. God's preparing a place for us. He came here, blazed the trail to get to the earth, and suffered, bled, and died, rose again, paid the penalty of sin, went back to heaven, blazed the trail back. We have a way back through the quagmire of the forests of iniquity and the wilderness of sin. We could find that blazed trail. It's a straight and narrow path that leads up to the holy hill of the Lord. Amen. Only the pure in heart, he who has clean hands and a what? Pure heart can make their way up that holy hill and find that resurrection road. Amen. We can find a resurrection road through the Holy Ghost. Yes. Amen. And we have to have a life worshiping God, conducive of that walk. God has done great things for us, and we should want to do great things for him, despite all odds against us. So on this special day, we want to focus on how to bless the Lord. Yes. Amen. We're going to talk about that. How to bless the Lord. Amen. The scripture we read is a reflective thought made by an older King David as he looked back upon his own experiences, reflecting upon things he could praise God for. Sometimes you have to commemorate and count your blessings. Name them one by one. You'll be surprised what the Lord has done. Amen. Well, we could drown and soak in our sorrows and have pity parties, right? Passing out all the RSVPs so that all the friends could join in our boo-hoo-hoo time. But God is saying, I'm going to be the lifter up of your head. Let me give you strength in this season of doubt and fear trembling in your soul. God's going to amen, place your feet on a solid ground. Even though the rain of adversity is soaking the soil around you, God's going to be that stepping stone to help you make it across on the resurrection road. He's going to show us in our life through trials how to yet bless the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes, other scriptures reveal how he was not ashamed to get himself all worked up in God's presence. King David did that. You know, he praised God, and some of his kingly vestments fell to the side. He said, I don't care about all that. I want to bless the Lord. I want my heart to connect with God. It's more about God than about these vestments. Amen. Victory in Jesus, more than the vestments. Amen. David had a lot of folk and a big kingdom, big venue, but that didn't matter. He said, I want to have my heart fixed on the Lord. Amen. Doesn't matter how I look to you right now, because, amen, we don't think the way God thinks. I'm going to go on in and bless the name of the Lord. Yes, his heartfelt passion is what genuine adoration to God is all about. Mm-hmm. Religious actors only antagonize, irritate, anger, and perturb God with their pretentious worship, having lip service but hearts far away. I recall in the Old Testament, God said he was sick of their songs, amen, their new moons and celebrations. It began to be a stench in his nostrils. Oh, how we waste time when we're not going after God the way we ought to. When we're more concerned with how the status quo of our subcultural, ecclesiastical little church culture is concerned about how we look. Do we fit in? Are we in the club?
Right.
My God. But am I right with God?
Yes.
Sometimes it don't matter if you're right with God or not. As long as you're crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's according to the protocol of men's traditions. My God, you're going to be in there because status quo said so. But what about God? Will God say, depart from me, I know you not, you worker of iniquity?
Yes.
Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. That's where it's going to start. And people in the house of the Lord are pretentious, my God, and they're not going to make it. How you think the fakers out in the world are going to make it, my God? And so many people, you know, instead of Jesus, they say, let's just have symbols. God created animals. Let's just look at the bunny and the things that he made in nature, the cacao seed and how we can make milk chocolate. It's about chocolates. It's about sugar that we make jelly beans with and a little eggs and the bunnies and stuff. Oh, that's good enough. And all of the pastel colors. Spring is here. And they're coloring eggs. Amen. But when Jesus cracks the sky, is he going to count how many eggs we crack? My God. Mm-hmm. It's not about eggs cracking. My God, it's about us being ready before he cracks the sky. I want to have a relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
Not about how many bunnies I was able to love and hug and kiss on. Not about how many hidden eggs I found in the backyard.
Right.
No, it's not about an Easter egg hunt. No, no, no. But I want to be right with God. Jesus rose on this day. We want to celebrate him. Amen. God is saying that he has blessed us. Amen. He is blessing us. And also he intends to keep on blessing us. He's going to satisfy our soul with the faith from heaven. He wants us to bless him back in reciprocation. Doesn't nature show forth the handiwork of God that made it? Amen. We ought to do it even more so because we were given, amen, that we would have the burden and the blessing to give him the highest praise. We're of the highest in creation. Amen. We ought to be doing better than a plant, than a rock. Trees are raising their branches to heaven. Amen. And you can see the blossoms coming in. and timely essence and saying that Jesus rose again.
Yeah.
But look at us. We care more about all of the seducing spirits, doctrines, and we're going after how to be a rebellious person against the holy culture of God. And we're working hard and overtime. And even leadership in the government is more about establishing new holidays and such and commemorations, even on the day of Jesus's resurrection. They want to celebrate rebellion instead of the holiness of God. But people are quoting scriptures to get in that office. But woe unto us for quoting scriptures with our lips, but our hearts are not attached to the scriptures we're quoting. God of that scripture should be your Lord and Savior. Amen. He should be the one that orders your steps. He should have been the one that transformed your heart and mind to live holy, not just speak holy, but to be holy. I found out that God is more of a verb than a noun. Amen. God is saying, I am. He's a verb. Amen. What are you? Amen. Are you living this thing or just talking about it? Amen. My God, I want to be one that has been transformed. I want to be a verb too, Lord. Help me to be holy as you are holy. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless you on this Resurrection Sunday. Thank you, Lord. You know, God created us for the purpose of giving him the highest praise. However, that eternal purpose is hindered by what? By sin, which is the spiritual birth defect of all of us mankind. We were created in God's image with a heart that desires to be satisfied, a mind that can think, a will that can pursue, emotions that can feel. However, sin causes us to have desires that do not permanently satisfy us. Minds that defend such an unstable pursuit, wills that seek to keep such a false hope alive, and emotions that signal that unfulfilled and defeated existence, despite all attempts to keep it inconspicuous. My God, I remember being a pretentious hypocrite in church, had my same party clothes on, coming into the house of God the next day from Saturday night into Sunday morning. Amen. I tried to come in, sneak in incognito. Amen. But God shined a light from heaven and shined on me. God put the prophetic spotlight on me, and the mothers would pull me aside and say, you are straddling the fence, son. It's time to get right with God. And then the other saved deacon would come and sit me down. He said, I got a little song for you. He said, because sometimes the devil's trying to pull on the young people. He said, I used to sing the holy songs from the hymn book, and then the devil tried to give me new lyrics so that I could live according to his unholy standards instead of at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. Amen. You know, the real lyrics. I began to not be in church, and I found it not robbery to go to the bar after a while. And I started singing at the bar where I smoked my first cigar, and the money in my pocket rolled away. It was there by chance I tore my Sunday pants, and now I gotta wear them every day. My God, my God, I never forgot that song. And as I began to go in all the little places in the college and try to get down with the rest of them, amen, I could hear that song from the deacon. I was getting convicted once again, and I couldn't escape the hand of the Lord. God had me spiritually marked because at 9 years old, I said, I believe Jesus. I will trust and do as he said. Amen. I will follow all the way. Hallelujah. God said, I got one set of footprints in the sand right now. Not that you're walking alone, but because I'm carrying you. Amen. But I want you to carry on in the tradition of holiness. Let my spirit come in and prevail in your heart. I had a hard head and a stiff neck, and I didn't want to hear it. I wanted to fit in too badly. I was, amen, more concerned about how the world perceived me as one of their own instead of me being one with God. But one day, God, amen, helped me to see that all of those friends, when it comes down to it, they're not going to have you back the way I'm going to have you back. They said, where are your friends at now? I'm still here. I'm still here. You know my name. What is my name? Jehovah Shammah. The Lord that is there. I was crying to the Lord in prayer, singing that old Gaither song. Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name. And every time I sung it, I cried in my dorm. Amen. Hallelujah. And I had to get right with God. Hallelujah. Get right with God and do it now. The Holy Ghost will show you how. And I began to shake myself free of that through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I could feel the shackles of sin. And I sung that song from the Imperials. Amen. Those white brothers, amen, anointed to sing. They said, praise the Lord. The chains that seem to bind you will drop down on the ground. Amen. The power of God. Amen. I began to sing that song in my heart because I played it in my car a lot. And I went back to praising God. And then my soul, amen, began to be the jukebox for the Lord instead of the jukebox for the devil. Amen. Thank God I recall when my father was ministering in the juke joint and he pulled the cord of the jukebox and it was singing Sugar Pie Honey Porch. And the jukebox went off and some of them had expletives through the air and the Holy Ghost began to, amen, make them judge their own selves. And I could see the drunk sober up a little bit and one slap one upside the head and said, shut up, that's the man of God, have respect. The Holy Ghost began to shut them up. And my father opened the Bible as the jukebox was running down and he said, it's time to hear from the Lord. He was standing like that. And I was standing behind him just knowing that somebody gonna throw a beer bottle in a minute. But I thank God nobody did. The Holy Ghost arrested them. I said the same Holy Ghost that can arrest sinners, make them attentive to the will of God. Hallelujah. God prepared a way for the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord through his servant. They began, amen. Some of them start crying. I was brought up better than this and crying and want to be saved. Hallelujah. You're going to have some to get saved. Others going to have a stiff neck. But the one that God commissioned for you to go after, that's the one that's going to come out. Even if it's one out of 50. So what? You did the will of the Lord. Amen. You come to church every Sunday and it's always the same few. So what? You are what? Obedient to the Lord. Amen. I don't care if you got one dress every Sunday. You iron that bad boy up. Hallelujah. Make sure the iron not too hot so you don't have, you know, the tattoo of the iron on the dress. You're going to wear that dress 50th time. I'm going to bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. No matter. Be obedient. The good things that you got are for many just a dream. So be thankful for the good things that you got. These are some of the songs I grew up on when I was a young teenager trying to find my way in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And I began to learn again how to bless the Lord. Yeah. Amen. God makes attempts. Oh, God, every day he gives signs and wonders all around us. Amen. One time I was driving in the college on the highway by the college and I went in the intersection. It was my turn. The light was green, but two cars coming opposite way didn't think so. And they crashed into each other. And then the velocity of them crashing together was also an equal and opposite reaction. And it began to part way like the waters of the Red Sea parted. And I was able to drive through there and not get hit by anything. My God. And I began to slow down the car and say, what in the world just happened? God said, I, amen, have my hand on you. I protected you, amen. The devil wanted to crash them two cars into you, but I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. I'm here today because God wants me here. Hallelujah. It behooves me to shake myself when I get a little depression spirit trying to whisper in my ear. I got to say, why art thou disquieted? I will lift my hands. I will lift my head. I will lift my heart to heaven. I will bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not his benefits. He benefited me. I'm going to reciprocate as much as I can to the Lord in obedience of his word. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost have his way. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. I found out the remedy for the sickness of a defective soul is an effective relationship with Jesus Christ, the living Savior of lost souls. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish perish, but what? Have everlasting life. You know, God came to earth as a man to redeem lost man back to himself by suffering and dying for us to defeat Satan, that deceiver of men, and rise again from the dead in eternal triumph against the forces of darkness, thus paving a way back to God. Amen. So if we use his gift of saving faith to pursue his way over our own, like I learned how to do in college through the Holy Ghost, we can obtain righteousness as he empowers us to be victorious over the penalty, over the power, and over the presence of sin. Look at all he has done to bless us after we gain an understanding of how precious our souls are to him. We can begin to express compassion, amen, from him, and the passionate gratitude to him, amen. So in essence, God has revealed to me that we will be blessing the Lord at that point when we do that, amen. So blessing the Lord apparently is an automatic response in us that God activates when we allow him to save us from sin. There are powers of sin that try to lurk, even though you have been saved from the penalty. The powers of sin, some of them have to be shaken off of you. Yes. And the closer you are to God, draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. He's going to cleanse. Why? Because the laver is there in the court. Amen. And we get cleansed. The laver is helping us to see that we are cleansed by the washing of the word of God. Yes. We have to immerse ourselves in the word of God day and night. If we can watch reruns over and over.
Right.
We know some of those shows verbatim by heart. Mm-hmm. How many scriptures do we know verbatim by heart?
Right.
My God, God's going to do an account on us. Amen. Lisa, my wife, is a good accountant. My God, a CPA, as a matter of fact. Amen. But you know what? God is the accountant of accountants.
Yes, yes.
My God, he's the auditor of auditors.
Yes.
And he's going to, amen. He's doing an audit right here and right now.
Yes.
Amen. But there's going to be one day when we all have to stand before him.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He's cracking the sky, amen, to come back. But you know what? He makes house visits right here and right now. He's going to, amen, ensure that we have been taught right, discipled the way we ought to, so that we are what? Without excuse. Amen. God is the Parakletos through the Holy Ghost, the teacher that walks alongside of you. In other words, your life coach. And the day you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't have a hard head. Don't have a stiff neck. Amen. Feet should be shod with the gospel of preparation of peace, not with worldliness. Amen. Thank God you should have Air Jesus on your feet. Amen. I could, amen, run through troops and leap over walls.
Yes.
God will enable me. He will help me to mount up with wings as an eagle. I shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. I'm not going to give up. I've been running for Jesus a long time. And what? I'm not tired yet. I don't intend on getting tired, because God doesn't get tired. Amen. I even tell my students, you're going to be on punishment till I get tired. It's like, do you ever get tired? I said, no. I said, I got enough God in me not to get tired. You got to do what's right. You got to toe the line. I had to toe the line when I was a kid. Now it's your turn. Now toe the line. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyhow, I don't care what they say. Everybody's getting a trophy. Not in this class. You got to earn the trophy. I did homework. Should I get a candy or something? No, you should know that you did your homework and now you're ready for the test and ready for life. You don't need a candy. Amen. You need to learn how to have an intrinsic reward. Everything that's within me, bless the Lord. Amen. We're worried about crowns and jewels and stuff. You know, we don't even want to love the Lord. Let him transform you. You'll know how to love him. Amen. Thank God we're going to get into these witnesses who knew how to love the Lord. In Luke 7:36, we have a witness from there. John 12:3, we have a witness from there. And Matthew 26:7. These scriptures are the records of the anointing of God. There are three anointings that Jesus received by three different women. These men today, especially in the SBC, I don't like calling people out, but some of y'all might know that means Southern Baptist Convention. And they will look at me and scoff and say, you anointed and installed women, my God, to leadership? God forbid. And they misquote scriptures to prove their point. But I'm looking at these women that Jesus allowed to anoint him. In other words, he commissioned them. In other words, amen, he elevated them to be able to anoint the Most High God. That's a big elevation. My God. Though some scholars believe that two of the incidences are by the same woman, there is no scriptural backing to their educated guesses. The women are disclosed as, number one, a woman known as a sinner of a town called Nain, 21 miles away from Christ's headquarters of Capernaum. That's the first witness. Let her sit down. You affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but truth, so help you God. Go ahead, honey, sit on down. Number two, come on in. Did the court wadai her? Yes, they saw her. Amen. Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha, and one Lazarus, who was raised from the dead by Jesus. She's going to come. My God. And here's number three. She's been all affirmed and everything. Let her come on in. It's an unknown woman of Bethany. Just because she's unknown don't mean you can put her as one of the mother ones. No, the timing and logistics don't match. Amen. So let's have the first witness, the sinner woman, as she was called. They're calling her by her past name. Amen. Not by the new name. The sinner woman's coming. She blessed the Lord in front of many people at a dinner in the house of Simon of Nain, who was a Pharisee, a high official, right? A religious official. Simon had invited Jesus to his house. So he had a house party and he invited Jesus with many other important people. He was entertaining that day. Entertaining, I said. Was it a holy assembly? Not necessarily. But he's showing off his clout. Look, I got that so-called Jesus of Nazareth. Maybe I could have him do one of his miracles. So Jesus is going to be the entertainment. Amen. Bring in the clowns. Bring in the dancing girls. And let Jesus do one of his miracles too. You know, that's a carnal mind. So we see this man had invited Jesus and some other folk to entertain them. This was most likely done since he probably felt Jesus had a celebrity status. See, he did not have true faith in Jesus's office of prophet or Messiah, since he mentally criticized him for not apparently being aware of the woman's sinful reputation in that town. Everybody else knew about her. Jesus should have knew about her, of what sort she was. Jesus allowed the woman to do this: cry at his feet, wash his feet with her tears, wipe them with her hair, kiss them, and then anoint them with expensive ointment. Not that kind of ointment that has kind of the name, you know, those cheap ones I used to buy when I had somewhat of a job when I was young. And I couldn't afford the big name ones. So I got the ones with the fake name. It kind of smelled like it a little bit. Amen. The lady didn't have that. No, she had the expensive stuff. And it could be a whole day's wages. You could feed a lot of folk that are poor with that. So Simon, this Pharisee, he scornfully criticized Jesus about that, resulting in Jesus turning and rebuking him. Amen. So Jesus didn't, amen, defend him and his Pharisaic status. Jesus rebuked him and turned and defended and honored the woman, the sinner woman. Isn't that something? Jesus saw her heart cleansed and connected to him. Amen. So she had an eternal connection with the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Amen. So all these people, what they're saying didn't matter at all. Amen. She could care less what they are saying, how they are looking at her. She had her mind on Jesus. Focused and got to him and reciprocated back. the worship due his name. And let's look at our second witness, and we're almost done. Mary also blessed Jesus at a large but solemn dinner in her house. It was her house, not the Pharisee's house. In her house in Bethany. Is that a different town? Yes. With her family and many of Jesus's followers, 6 days away from the Last Supper. Was it a different time? Yes. Different place? Yes. So despite some scornful, criticizing onlookers, she knelt at Jesus's feet to anoint them with expensive ointment, wiping them with her hair. Once again, my God. Where does the glory come from? Amen. The glory is in your hair, women. God had a reason why he said that in scriptures earlier on. Amen. And look what she's doing with the glory. She's giving God the glory. But to give God the glory, you got to humble yourself at his feet. And when you sit at the feet of the rabbi, you are humbling yourself to be taught. Hallelujah. And you are showing the world that I have decided to follow Jesus. When you follow, you are in his tutelage. You have humbled yourself to learn from him, to receive from him. Amen. To become who you are supposed to be according to the eternal purpose in heaven. So that's who she was. She knew of what sort she was and of what sort Jesus was. She showed the world that in the spirit, we're already there. But in the natural, now y'all gonna get a whiff of what's going on. Amen. Thank God, thank God. So despite all of that criticizing, amen, she went on ahead and did it. Thank God. But Judas Iscariot, he had a problem with that. My God, he was, amen, doing whatever he could do to sneak around with the money. And when Jesus came to look, he probably cooked the book. Amen. Thank God. So he could, amen, be a little sneak. But he was skimming off the top, doing all kind of stuff. My God, he rebuked about the expense of that ointment and the whole nine. My God. And but Jesus turned and rebuked him. Hallelujah. And once again, defended and honored Mary. Hallelujah. Thank God. Women, you may be downtrodden still in our modern day ecclesiastical circles. But look, God honors the women. Yeah. Hallelujah. He said the Holy Ghost will fall on all of us. He's not going to say, amen, you have a female genitalia, therefore I cannot fall on you. Get out of the way. I am looking for the males, the males, the males. No, women, the Holy Ghost falls on you too. God calls you. You preach. You teach. You, amen, go forth into the world, amen, and win the world for Jesus. Hallelujah. He will do it through you. Oh, hallelujah. Let's look at the third witness before the court is closed. Judge, don't bang your gavel just yet. The third and last witness is an unnamed woman at a dinner in Simon the leper's house. Was Simon the Pharisee a leper? No. Different people. So we have Simon the leper, his house in Bethany. But how many days away from the Last Supper? 2 days. We have the one we just talked about. 6 days away. But this event was what? 2 days away from the Last Supper. Like the other residential occasion in Bethany, this was also a large but solemn feast. It wasn't about entertaining and all. Bringing in a dancing girl, let Jesus do a miracle or something. You know, no, this was a solemn feast. Just like the other two witnesses who blessed the Lord, she too was not ashamed to face the vengeful scorn of certain disciples. And why should these disciples, followers of Jesus, be scornful? Are they walking in the spirit? No. So this woman took an expensive container of ointment and anointed Jesus's feet. No, his head. This is a totally different occasion, you see. And the disciples scornfully criticized her approaching the Lord that way, and the audacity to anoint his head. You know, you don't go to a leader's head like that, no way. But you know what Jesus did? Turned. Did he rebuke the woman? Say, get off me. You don't know of what sort you are. Go back under the table with the dogs that are looking for crumbs. Did he say that? No. Jesus rebuked his disciples, all the men who thought they had more Holy Ghost than the downtrodden women. No. He defended and honored her. Thank God. If you are in the place of righteous worship, and rightfully so, because your mind has been made right with the power of God's word and his spirit. Amen. You are in the right place at the righteous time. Amen. And you will not be scorned, rebuked by the Lord. God said, even in young children, he has perfected praise. So even more so for an adult who has gone through hell and high water, but got delivered. God has placed in them a high praise, and they ought not be ashamed to, amen, exhibit it wherever he wants them to. Thank God for that. So in order to bless, in other words, properly praise the Lord. So when you bless the Lord, what are you doing? Praising, properly praising the Lord, right? One has to believe in Jesus, that's first, and receive him as Lord of your life. A lot of people are doing whatever they want. Lip service, lip service, lip service. Saying stuff like a trained seal, but have no life connected to him. Doing whatever they want, whatever they find right in their own eyes. These are the kind of souls that God will say, well, depart from me, I know you not. You worker what? Of iniquity. You're working iniquity, not righteousness. No. But God will give you power when you come into the fold of him. Amen. Receive him as Lord of your life. He's going to give you power to become one of his beloved children after you admit you need him. So a lot of people are walking around here. Oh, I do good deeds. I do good deeds. That's all I hear people saying. I do good deeds. I've done this. I've done that. I've given to the poor. Car was packed. I did all this good stuff. But we're not admitting that we need God. We have become God. We have to admit we need God. Not only admit we need God, we have to submit to his will. Many people are walking around in their own will. I am the master of my destiny, you know, all the New Age stuff. But they have not submitted to the will of God. God will not be their counsel. God will not, amen, be the one that guards and guides their steps. Lamp unto my feet. No, I got my own lamp. I work for this lamp. My God, no, but we need to submit to his will. Not only that, after you submit, sometimes you don't want to commit completely, you know, but we need to commit to his ways, all of them, not cherry pick. I like that way, not so much that one. Hold on that one. Look, I'm going to go past that one, past that. Ooh, chapters 20 through 80. Nope. 81. There it is. Ooh, the blessings. Everybody's blessed. Blessed. My God. No. But God is saying, did you admit you need me? Did you submit to, amen, my will? Did you commit to all my ways? And all thy ways acknowledge him. What? And he will what? Direct your paths. All your paths. You got different things you got to do. He's got to direct you in all of them. Thank God. He's even interested in your, amen. Who's your boyfriend? Who's your girlfriend? He's interested in everything. Who's your companion? He's interested in all that. Who you texting? And when you look at the Holy Ghost, he's looking over your shoulder. Who that you texting? Gosh, don't worry about what I'm doing. Gosh, we do this to the Holy Ghost. Gosh, we don't want him to look. We go home and do something else. Pastor, don't see me. It's all right. It's all right now. Think I'll sin anyhow. So we got to be right wherever we are. Commit to all his ways at all times. The essence of how to bless the Lord rests in the common attitude of each of these witnesses. You don't have to be a woman like each of these examples used in this message, but it is essential that you tap into the mystery of being defended by Jesus, as well as honored by Jesus, blessed by Jesus. Hallelujah. Each of them had that. situation in their life. Each of them experienced all of that through the following means. One, three things. One, they all had strong affection to righteously pursue fellowship with the Savior. A lot of people don't do that today. They just do stuff that's kind of religious, but not pursuing a righteous fellowship with the Savior, thus activating your faith. You can't please God without that kind of faith. You have to go past saying, when I was a little boy, I had the Sunday school lesson. Yeah, Jesus did exist. Yeah, he existed. You know, yeah, but do you have a relationship with him? You know, thank God. So the momentum of one who is in a diligent, righteous pursuit after God, amen, their momentum to make that happen will cause them to be socially courageous. Amen. Come what may, I'm going to go through and worship God in the midst of all those who may not be. See, they didn't care about the erroneous opinions of others. You can't be like low esteem adolescents who base their life on the opinions of who? Others. I want the opinion of God. That's all I'm after. If he's saying, yes, you're good, I'm good. Amen. If everybody else saying I'm bad, well, whatever. God said I'm good. Amen. Yeah, you got to grow up like that. That means you have grown up in adulthood. Increase in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. When you're able to do that, you have grown up in the Lord. Thank God. Even in some church circles, you have to say no to some folk because it's all about traditions of men.
Yeah.
Are you saying yes to the Lord? God has called some people, but they are in these ecclesiastical situations, in these little clubhouse, organizations, and they are stuck, stymied. They are in prison. They can't go left or right. Even though the Holy Ghost said go left and right, they can't because the status quo said not to.
Yeah.
My God, they are held captive.
True.
Yeah. We always talk about held captive silly women, but it is held captive silly men too. God said, do this and that, and you have the strong commissioning from God, but you are, amen, putting that aside because the organization didn't say you was called like that.
Right, right.
You're not called till you do it like this. Mm-hmm. Carbon copies. My father hated that. Everybody's a carbon copy. He used to say it like that when we got home. Carbon copies. Amen. Then another thing he didn't like, he would say, that's it's all about emotions. They don't have the real Holy Ghost. That's emotions. As soon as the organ go off, nobody know how to do nothing. There. It's emotions. My God. And he was angry about it. It was an apostolic, righteous anger. Amen. And he had to get out of there. Amen. Because they didn't understand him. He said, son, you would not believe. I found out later on when he was in the office with some of these people, those men would be cussing at him. Oh, what happened to the, amen, tongues? Speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance. And they said they were fluent in tongues, but they had a different tongue in the office. How can cursing and blessing come out of the same thing? God has a problem with that. I know my father had a problem with that. And then people would say, oh, that's all right. The leader in that house will control Brother James. But my father said, no, God is my income. I don't need y'all's income. God is my income. If you never give me another check, I'm still going to do what thus saith the Lord. That's the kind of spirit and heritage I have. Amen. You could call me hard head all you want, but I am obedient to the will of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll have to be like Elijah. That's all right. I'll be able to call fire from heaven. I bet you that much. Thank God. You're going to send your little henchmen to me. God's going to send a fire down and burn them up. Amen. Send 50 more. They're going to get burned up. And then the next 50 going to be scared because they saw the other two sets of 50 got burned up. Amen.
Amen.
You better watch yourself. I know God's hand is on me. I'm not saying I'm all that, but I know God's hand is on me. This is why some people are afraid to call back. Amen. Oh, I want to invite him. I want to invite him, Pastor, this and this and that and the other thing. My pastor will be calling you. I said, no, he's not. I didn't tell them that, but I said, when I hung up, I said, he's not going to call. I already know. I know of what sort I am. Amen. I have a certain protocol that I, amen, maintain. Amen. And I don't care who you are in the status quo of your ecclesiastical circles. If God told me no, guess what I'm going to tell you? N-O, no. Heaven, no.
Right.
Hallelujah. Anyhow. And then they get mad. You didn't call. Oh, are you surprised? God said, don't. I thought we honored the Lord and his word. You should be saying, well, pray on it. No one says pray on it. When they come in, they are the one. So I got to amen, submit and commit to them. No, I will submit and commit to the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. I didn't admit I need you. I need the Lord.
That's right.
I have submitted to him and I have committed my ways to him. Thank God. So when you get your righteousness with God, and number one, number two, you got to remain humble before Christ. And that's what I always fight for. Fight the good fight of faith, to stay humble before Christ. People all about vestments and venues now. That's cool. Amen. But I know one thing. If I wear jeans and a plaid shirt in the pulpit, I'm still anointed. I got scoffed about that. They saw it on Facebook. You got a plaid shirt on. I said, and what? I'm not naked. What? Thank you, Jesus. It's all kind of stuff out here. Look at number three, and we're done. These women were openly vulnerable, right? But they were defended, honored, and blessed by who? By Jesus. That's all that matters. You better know the Lord. You better hear his voice. You better know of the commitment that God has placed at your hand. Amen. Your amen yoke is with Jesus. Be yoked to Jesus. His burden is light. It's still a burden. Amen. And you got a responsibility. But God does more the work than you. But you do have a part to play. Will you allow the risen Lord of all to make his eternal purpose in you come alive, showing forth to the world that I admitted, submitted and committed to him? Will he defend, honor, and bless you to ensure that you are birthed into new life? And in return, you know what? The Holy Spirit will enable you to defend your true faith. He's done it for me. I know he could do it for you. But you got to live honorably, blessing him as your Savior and your Lord. How to what? Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I pray the word of God has richly fed you. Amen. Have tweaked some things in you. And encourage you in areas where God has already made some progress in your life about it. Amen. I pray, Lord, that this word will, amen, become life, the life source, the strength that we need. Hallelujah, as you continue to prepare us.
We of the Realm of Agape Christian Church pray that the Holy Word of God has richly blessed your soul. To send prayer requests, use the contacts page of our website, www.roagape.org. We need your continued prayers and financial support to maintain this ministry. You can also find a secure means of donating on our website. God bless you.